Friends, would you join me in a prayer this morning? Holy God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. We pray that you speak to us once again your word of love and grace. And may we be transformed by it, that we may leave this place as new creatures. And God, help us be doers of your word and not just hearers. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So first sermons are always interesting for me. They make me a little anxious all the time. Although, for the most part, the churches that I've served have been very generous and very loving. But I always remember my very first sermon that I preached at a church, and that was when I was a member of my youth group in my church in Mexico. And they allowed me to preach for some reason. Somebody thought it would be a good idea to allow me to preach on a service. Now, it wasn't a Sunday service, so there wasn't as many people present. It was a Thursday service. But somebody thought it would be a good idea to let me preach, and so I did. And the thing that I remember the most about that time is at the very front of the church, there was one of the church matriarchs. You know what I'm talking about, right? She was my Sunday school teacher. She was very serious, and she sat right at the front, and as I started preaching, I can't remember what I preached about, but what she did during the sermon, for the entirety of the sermon, it seems, was just this. The whole time. And I don't know if she did that intentionally. I never asked her about it. I might someday if I become brave enough to do so, I'll ask her one day. But every now and then when I preach my first sermon somewhere, I keep telling myself it can't just be as bad as that was. So please try to be mindful of your nonverbals as we move forward in this sermon. Amen? That's all I'm saying. moving forward to another first sermon that I preached was a sermon at supervised ministry church. I like the pastor very much, and he gave me one piece of advice that I would like to share with you today, if that's okay. He said, Efrain, never preach a sermon twice. He said, once you preach a sermon, rip that piece of paper off, throw it away, never look back to it. And I got to tell you, that's some very bad advice, all right? As someone who preaches, for the most part, or has preached on a weekly basis, I got to tell you, that's not something you want to do. Because there are sermons that keep coming back to you. Are you with me? There are sermons that you preach and they just kind of stick with you in some way, shape, or form. And the sermon that I'm going to preach today, I have preached before. That's just between us right here, okay? And I've preached more than once, and I'll tell you why. Because transitions are hard. Transitions are difficult, and wherever I go, regardless of the church, I have found that with that process of transition comes a process of grieving. Can you say amen? Amen. And that's not just for you as churchgoers, it is also for us as pastors. We get to experience that process of grieving because I can tell you in my experience a few weeks ago, I was preaching at a different church that I had served for a couple of years. And in that period of time, you get to meet people and develop relationships and have important, meaningful conversations. And it's inevitable, friends, that you will create a bond with people. But as Methodists, we know that eventually we're going to move, right? And so we go through that process of grieving as well. And so I think it's important for us as we go through this process together in some way, shape, or form to understand a few things. Number one, grieving doesn't look the same for all people. Can you say amen? Amen. Grieving looks different for different people. Don't expect to see a grieving person crying or being sad. Sometimes grief comes out in very unexpected ways. Sometimes people get angry. Sometimes people get anxious, and sometimes you feel that resistance people holding on to that mentality of, well, I liked it more the way it used to be. Friends, those are grieving words that people express sometimes as well. And so today I thought, like I've preached before, that I would preach about healing. Now, who can tell me what healing is? You can talk, by the way. This is allowed. Who can tell me? Give me an idea of what grieving is, or a healing is for you. Prayers. Yes. Wholeness. I like that. Yes. Anybody else? Return to normal. Yeah. Whatever normal may be, right? Here's the definition, the official definition of healing for us United Methodists, and you can find this in the Book of Worship. It says, the root of the word healing in the New Testament Greek is the same as that of salvation and wholeness. Spiritual healing is God's work of offering persons balance, harmony, and wholeness of body, mind, spirit, and relationships through confession, forgiveness, and reconciliation. Friends, that's a lot of work, and it's important for us to be mindful of what healing is, because as we move forward in this process, we need to understand it and we need to embrace it. Are you with me? So, I've preached about Naaman before. This is a man who is a very powerful warrior, very famous in his land. But he had a disease. Do you remember what disease that was? Leprosy. Now, if you've read the Bible, you'll understand that leprosy back then was seen in a different way than it is seen today. You see, back then they didn't have any doctors or hospitals the way we do today. They understood illness to be a spiritual matter as well. Are you with me? And so when I read in the Bible of people being separated from their communities, set apart because of their leprosy, I understand that there was something at the social level that leprosy did to you. And I understand that there's something at the spiritual level that that kind of disease does to you. So they understood back then, before we had our modern mind that likes to compartmentalize things in spiritual, physical, cultural, whatever, back then they understood that it was a matter of the whole being that just kind of set you apart. You were different from everybody else. And so we have the story of Naaman, who comes to Elisha, and he wants to be healed. He wants to be restored to the normal. He wants to be a part of his community just like everybody else. He hears word about Elisha. He goes to visit him. And something interesting happens. Elisha doesn't even come out of his house. He sends a messenger and he says, if you want to be healed, go and submerge yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. And this, Naaman doesn't like this. Amen? He says, he makes a lot of excuses in his mind. But I believe, friends, that we can learn from what he says. I believe that we can learn from what he does as we ourselves move in this process of healing and wholeness ourselves. So there's 3 things that I want you to keep in mind today. When it comes to healing, it is not about the process. Can you say that with me? It is not about the process. And I'll tell you what that means. But 2, it is not about the place. Can you say it with me? It is not about the place. And 3, it is not about the pastor. Can you say amen? It is not about the pastor or the pastors. Yes. So let me explain what I mean when I say that it's not about the process. Naaman goes to Elisha and he expects to be healed a certain way. I don't know if you know somebody like this. He's the kind of guy that he not only wants you to do something for him, He wants you to do it a very specific way. Do you know somebody like that in your life? Just not. Don't say any names. But we've encountered people like that in our lives. He said, I was expecting that he would come out, kind of wave his hand over my body, and then I would be healed. Well, friends, let me tell you something. I don't blame the guy. I imagine that this is the kind of ritual that he grew up with. This is the kind of ritual that he was comfortable with. And that's what his expectation was. But God was doing something new in his life. And through this process, he was called to get out of his comfort zone and open himself to a new way of healing. Are you with me? Are you still with me? That is scary. It is very scary because you never know when God is doing something new, you never know what you're going to get. You never know what is going to happen, right? So he was expecting to be healed a certain way, but he's told, you got to do it this other way. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my own process and my own journey. I grew up in a very Pentecostal church.
Amen.
Amen. So that's why I appreciate the feedback, by the way. Every now and then, if you say, amen, hallelujah, praise God, I will know that you're hearing me. I will know that you're understanding me. At least do something like this. I would appreciate that as well. So I grew up in a very Pentecostal church. This is the kind of church where people jump, right? They dance. They shout. Somebody will come and pray for you. You will fall on the floor. People speaking in tongues. Who has been in a church like that before? It was a wonderful experience growing up. It was good cardio, too. It was wonderful. This is how I got to know God growing up. This was God to me. Loud, enthusiastic, lively, right? Time goes by. I'm called to ministry. I moved to the United States and joined the United Methodist Church. And let me tell you something. You guys are laughing. I haven't said anything yet. I started my first church for my supervised ministry experience. Very formal church. There was a choir. There wasn't a band. There was a choir. And the choir, everybody in the choir wore a robe. And the pastor wore a robe. And they didn't even allow a projector to be inside of the temple because they were very liturgically conservative. Friends, that was scary for me. I had never read a prayer from a piece of paper before because prayers growing up were supposed to be extemporaneous and enthusiastic. Are you with me? And loud. Loud. And so I'm put in this place and I begin to understand something, that God is there as well. Yes, God is present in the loud music. God is present in the shouting and in the healing and in all those things that I grew up seeing. But God is also present in the contemplative process of a more traditional church. And I say, wow, God is great. Can you say amen? Amen. God cannot be contained by any particular style of music. And I felt like I understood God in a different way. It was at that church where I understood that it is not about the process. It is not about the style. It is not about the way we do things. It's about understanding that God is doing something new, and we have to be open to that process. Are you with me? God is doing something new, and we have to be receptive to the power of the Holy Spirit, to be open to it, so that we may also be changed and may be blessed by that as well. Doesn't mean it's not going to be scary, but friends, it's been a blessing to understand that God moves in different ways. I understood that God doesn't only speak Spanish, God speaks English as well. Can you say amen? Amen. And God moves in different ways in our hearts, and it was beautiful. So it's not about the process. Number two, what's the second thing I said? It is not about the place. Something that Naaman says when he goes to see Elisha is, hold on a second, we have better rivers where I come from. Why not go over there and wash myself to be clean? Now, I have heard this message in some way, shape, or form throughout my ministry when it comes to churches. Well, you know what? This church does things this kind of way. And if we did things this way, then we would be blessed. Well, hold on a second. This pastor does this way. This church is doing this, doing outreach, doing music, doing evangelism this kind of way. If we only did it like we do it in that, like they do it in that church, then we would also be blessed. But I'm here to tell you, friends, it is not about the place, because God is doing something new here as well today with you and with me. Can you say amen? Now, comparing yourself to other churches is very tricky, right? Now, you may not compare, and you're not always going to get the good side of that comparison, for the most part. Some churches, what they do is they may not compare themselves to the other church down the road, but they compare themselves to their church 10 or 20 or 30 years ago. Now, that's even more difficult, because then, can I tell you something? That church that you're comparing yourselves to, it doesn't exist anymore. Are you with me? And that church is going to be, it's going to be always in your mind, it's going to be excellent, perfect, beautiful. Well, our church today seems to be flawed and in a process, right? Let me tell you something. That is not a fair comparison either. One of my favorite quotes comes from an author. I can't remember what his name is exactly, but he says something in line of, the past is a different place. They do things differently there. Are you with me? So friends, as you're comparing yourself, think about that. It's a different place. And let me tell you something. It's not about the place. God can do something today in this place in a very special way if you and me are open to it today. Amen. There you go. I feel like we're in the same place, you and me. Now, the last thing is very important. It's very humbling for me to admit, too. It is not about the pastor.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You guys are getting good at this. Naaman goes to see Elijah. He expects Elijah to come out and do his part. But when he gets there, Elisha doesn't even come out of his house. To me, that's Elisha's way of saying, friend, this is not about me or the things that I can do. Can you say amen? This is about the things that God can do through me and through you at some particular point. So Elijah stays inside, but the Holy Spirit, friends, the Holy Spirit is moving. So this is something that we have to understand as pastors as well. Some pastors think that they can do everything, or they can be quite perfect at doing something. And some of us may be closer to that than other pastors. That is a joke. But it is truly humbling to understand that God is doing something independent of who I am, of the things that I can or cannot do, independent of my own successes, independent of my own limitations. Friends, when I got here, and this is something I keep reminding myself in every church I serve, is that God was here before I got here, and God will be here after I leave. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God was here before I got here. That means June 30th. God was here doing something special. And whenever the time comes when the bishop and the appointed cabinet decide that I have to go somewhere else, God will stay in this place and God will do something special here as well. But we have to be open to it. We have to be open to the idea that God is doing something special, something new in this place. God needs you and me to do that. Needs you and me to do that. A district superintendent in New Jersey, where I used to serve, used to end every sermon with one phrase, and it was very short but very moving. He said, Friends, this is the time, and we are the people. Such a short phrase, but very profound in its meaning. Friends, I don't know what God is thinking sometimes. And sometimes I'll say it out loud, God, what are you thinking? But in God's will, it is up to you and me. You and me have been brought to this place with a purpose, to do something special in this place. God can do something special through you if you're open to it. Something new, something exciting. And I don't know what that's going to look like. And it may be pretty scary to think about, but as we look to the future, let us think and let us know that God will be with us just like God has been with us in the past. Are we open to it? Are you open to it? Friends, it's up to you and me to do that. Now, I don't know what being faithfully obedient looks like for all churches. You may have to decide as a church what that means for you in this particular church at this particular time. But I do believe that God is good. All the time, and all the time, God is good. And God is working in some way. Some very exciting way in this place. I don't know what that's going to look like, but friends, I know what it takes. I know it's going to take our work, you and me, we together, us together, doing our part. And friends, one of my deeply held beliefs is that if we do our part, when we do our part, God does his part as well. Let it be so. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say it a little louder?
Amen.
A little more joy. Amen. Amen. Praise Jesus. Holy God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the message that you've spoken to us. We want to be that church, God, today. Give us the courage and give us the audacity to do the things that you've called us to do, to be the church that you've called us to be, knowing that it's not about the process, knowing that it's not about the place, and it's not about the pastors, but it's about you doing something new in this place. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.